From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jim Howard. BP chief executive Tony Hayward was reportedly spotty watching his yacht at a race today around England's Isle of Wight. That's made the internet light up with criticism of the embattled Hayward, whose company has claimed responsibility for the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. NPR's Yuki Noguchi has this report.
Hayward has not won too many fans in the U.S. Earlier this month, he told Gulf Coast residents he wanted the spill to end and he wanted his life back. That comment prompted disbelief from the residents, whose livelihoods may not return for months, if not years. According to the Associated Press, Hayward made an appearance at the event to watch his 52-foot yacht compete. That prompted many on Twitter and Facebook to denounce him again. Speaking to ABC's This Week, which airs tomorrow, White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel mocked Hayward for, quote, getting his life back, as he would say. Meanwhile, there is some confusion about Hayward's role in the effort to stop the spill in the Gulf. BP's chairman suggested Hayward would be removed from that role, but a BP spokesman said Hayward will remain in charge until the leak is stopped. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.
Republicans are criticizing President Obama's response to the oil spill. In the party's weekly radio address, Mississippi Senator Roger Wicker says the president has been too slow to act and that some of his decisions will do more harm than good. For his part, the president used his weekly address to blast Republicans for blocking legislation that would have lifted a $75 billion liability cap on economic damages for companies causing major disasters such as BP and the Gulf spill. China's announcement today that it will make the yuan more flexible is being welcomed by Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner. NPR's Giles Snyder reports China has been under international pressure over the issue.
Secretary Geithner is calling on China for a vigorous implementation of the change in policy, but it appears he won't get that. China's central bank isn't offering many details. It says it will gradually make the yuan's exchange rate more flexible, but that there is no basis for a big fluctuation or changes in the yuan's value. This is a touchy issue. The yuan has been frozen against the dollar for nearly 2 years, leading to charges that China manipulates the value of its currency to gain a trade advantage that costs U.S. jobs. Congress has threatened legislation aimed at the situation. In a statement, Geithner said that he's looking forward to working with China at next week's G20 meeting in Toronto. Giles Snyder, NPR News, Washington.
French President Nicolas Sarkozy says the World Bank and International Monetary Fund are outdated and should be replaced. The financial institutions date back to World War II. Sarkozy, in Russia for an economic meeting, says he will work with Russian officials to give developing countries a greater voice in regulating the world's economy. Sarkozy says the most effective forum for this discussion is the G20, an economic meeting of 20 wealthy and developing countries. The summit meeting is set for next week. Sarkozy says the summit should also think about a new international currency. This is NPR News from Washington. The first new nuclear reactor to be built in the U.S. in 3 decades are a step closer to reality. Ricky Bevington reports from Georgia Public Broadcasting.
Atlanta-based power giant Southern Company has agreed to accept $8.3 billion in federal loan guarantees. The support is for 2 additional nuclear reactors Southern Company wants to build at Plant Vogtle in East Georgia. President Barack Obama announced in February that the federal government would back the project as part of the administration's push away from fossil fuel energy. Clean energy opponents call the loan guarantees a raw deal for taxpayers. Southern Company says they'll save ratepayers millions of dollars in interest costs. The loan guarantees are contingent on the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission approving the new reactors, which would go online by 2017. For NPR News, I'm Ricky Bevington in Atlanta.
Former NBA player Manute Bol has died. According to the Associated Press, a colleague says the 7.5-foot-tall Bol was being treated for severe kidney troubles and a painful skin condition at a Virginia hospital. The 47-year-old Bol played 10 seasons in the NBA. He played with Washington, Golden State, Philadelphia, and Miami. Officials at soccer's World Cup say they are tightening security. After England and Algeria played to a 0-0 draw yesterday, an angry fan got into England's locker room and yelled at the team. The man was escorted from the building after a heated exchange with David Beckham. Officials say there was no physical threat to the players. The incident occurred before Prince William and Prince Harry were scheduled to visit the team. In today's action, the Netherlands beat Japan 1-0. Hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses are still without power after yesterday's severe storms across the Midwest. I'm Jim Howard, NPR News in Washington.